Well, I really appreciate the season. However, you know, we celebrate Christmas every day, don't we? That's one of the awesome things about, we get to share with people this time of year things that we know every day. That our day begins with the Lord. It doesn't begin with our thoughts. It begins with His thoughts. Lord, let Your will be done in our life, oh God. Just like it is in heaven, it shall be here on earth, especially in His people. I love the angel's encouragement in Luke chapter 8, verse 10, where it says, I bring you good tidings, great joy, that will be for all people. Yeah. And I think that that's something I'm missing these days. And they ended their discourse with saying, peace on this earth, goodwill towards everybody, men. That's hard to understand. We see the cruelty that's in the world. But if you choose to watch the news channels, God bless you, but it's like, make sure that this is in your heart first, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever should believe upon Him shall be saved and have eternal life forever and right then and there. Is that right? Now, Paul puts it a different way in chapters 12 and 13 of 1 Corinthians. So if you want to turn there. I'd like to talk a little bit about what's on the Lord's mind here, and that is unity, that there is one kingdom, there's one faith, there is one Lord. There's not many, just one. And for centuries, Christians have been fighting and having altercations and discussions and heated arguments about that. So if they interpret the scripture one way, another would interpret it another way. But there is only one scripture, one kingdom, and one God. If you're bored with me saying that, well, I'm sorry, but that is the message today. Verse 12 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Verse 12. For as one body, for the body is one, but it has many members. So it doesn't even say what body is talking about. It could be talking about your body or any organism for that matter. But all the members of one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. So just as you see in the natural and the spiritual, it's the same thing. Verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks. And that was a big divide in that time. Now we could say whether you're a Lutheran or Pentecostal, it doesn't matter. Whether slaves or free, doesn't matter whether you have a job or not, apparently. And all have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Oh, Lord God, thank You for the Holy Ghost in us. You know, I praise Him more and more for that fact. It isn't our understanding. It's the Holy Spirit within us who is our teacher, our comforter. We need both. In fact, the body is not one member, but many. So you can't say, well, just because you have the Holy Spirit, I know all and see all. You're not Karnak the Magnificent. You don't know all and see all. You need your brother and sister, which is why we have fellowship with each other, which is why in Fountain of Life we encourage home groups and any other excuse that we can come and get together so we can speak into each other's lives, because we know that we only see in part, verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, maybe a lofty thing. If therefore not the body, of course it is. And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is there therefore not the body? No, of course not. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole hearing were hearing, where would the smelling be? Actually, you have more smelling sensations than anything else in your body. You know, thousands and thousands. But now God has set members, each one of them, in the body, ready, just as he pleases. And if they are all one member, where would the body be then? Verse 20. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nor much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker or unnecessary. So I think that's what I get caught a lot of times. Well, I don't need that person. They have never contributed to me at all. Well, that could be your problem, Peter. And those members of the bodies which we think are less honorable, and these we bestow great honor. It seems like hair is a big deal these days. And our unrepresented parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given great honor to the part which lacks it. And there should be no schism in the body. There be no division. But that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, now this is a point. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So I want to say that again. If one member suffers, all the members suffers. If one is honored, all are honored. Wow. So you may not have the Patriot of the Year award. If you contributed enough money to the presidential campaign, you could be up for that. I think I've gotten like 15 or 20 emails and texts to that. They're just asking for more money, really, I think. I'm not sure. Because at the bottom line is how much do you want to contribute. But when one member is honored, we are all honored. So the scripture says other things about honor, doesn't it? For example, it says that you should honor those who teach among you. So if I'm honored in any way as one who teaches the word of God, so are you. If one is honored, we're all honored. Now, we don't need to hear this, but if one hurts, we all hurt. That's really true, because God puts into us a caring and a real empathy and sympathy for those who are hurting. You know, this has been a hard week for me. I had trouble getting around, walking. I've had adrenaline rushes, and I felt like I was going through menopause or something. I don't know. But I was like, what is going on? And Cheryl's always the first to know. She says, well, your GBS is back. Hello. I said, okay, honey, I'll deal with this. It's interesting. We have a survivors group. A lot of them take on the symptoms of GBS and handle them differently. Yesterday, I just posted a post. I said, I've really had enough of this. Anybody want some of my symptoms? And immediately, I got a response. I said, hang in there. You'll be okay. Take one day at a time. You're going to be all right. It's not going to be forever. You'll get through this. We need to be encouraging to one another like that. Is that right? And we know, my son Luke the other day cut his finger. And it was right back there, right? I don't know how he did it, but he's bleeding. Now, he was bled before, but he probably didn't pay much attention to it. Now, at his age, he's like, wow, this is really red blood. I'm probably not feeling well. Of course, the suggestion of that to his own brain is he's, you know, sitting on the floor. Well, I'm not feeling well. I'm bleeding, you know. When you take your blood in a clinic to do blood tests, that take oodles more blood than that. In fact, if you would take a test tube of blood and spill it on the floor, you'd say, who killed somebody? I mean, it's a lot of blood, and it doesn't take much blood to make things red, really red. And he was afraid, scared, and wasn't feeling well because of his own mind was closing in on him, saying, you are not feeling well. So unwellness contributes to unwellness. You ever been there? I don't feel good. Make that confession enough, and sure enough, you won't feel good. I'm not saying it's mind over matter or anything like that, but there is a psychological component to pain that's real. It's not made up. You make it up, but it becomes real to you. And that's the same with mental illness as well. And people say, well, mental illness, they just need to get over it. They need to just be cheered up. But more than that, they need you. You need someone to stand by them when they're going through physical suffering or mental. Even with animals, it's very obvious they need companionship. They need someone to stand with them. Now, I've shared this experiment with you guys before. It's in Psychology 101, I think, where they take a dog and they put him in a circle and they start electric shock. And he can't get out of this circle. And so eventually he collapses on the floor and shivers in terror and fright. And that's when they stop the experiment. And then they take the circle fence off from around him so he can just walk off, whereas before he couldn't. And they give him electric shock, and he just falls to the floor trembling, as if there was a fence there, but now there is no fence. So now the trainer goes in and takes the dog, pulls him over the fence line where there's no shock. You think that would be it? It's not. He has to do it many times, 3, 4, 5 times before the dog gets it, that he can go across that line. He needs help and support beyond when you think he needs it. So we also have that problem. Many times in our life, we face circumstances and say, I know I faced this yesterday. I say to Cheryl, and she says, well, you just faced this yesterday. I said, I know I just faced it yesterday. But I need you today, too. Now, is that right, or am I just talking? Yeah. We can learn from dogs so well. Not in the scripture, but the scripture does tell us to be aware of each other's pain. When one suffers, we all suffer. Verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ, he reminds us. Members, individually, but members. God has appointed these in the church. And then he lists them. First, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administrators, variety of tongues. So you could probably missed a few. Verse 29. Where are the apostles? Are the prophets? Are the teachers? The workers of miracles? Do they all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? An answer to all those questions is no, they don't all, but one by one. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. Now, the gifts of the Spirit are for the purpose of developing in you, individually, and you, the church. The gifts of the Spirit are for the church to build up and change you into the likeness of Christ, which are not the gifts of the Spirit, but the likeness of Christ is in his character of love. And that's what he says in the next chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, all the gifts, wow, I'm really something. I can speak in tongues of different languages. I can speak in the tongues of angels. I can imagine someone saying, well, I can speak in the tongue of archangels. Oh, well. Let's make it a contest. But if I don't have love, what happens? I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. In other words, a sound that's not pleasant. Have you heard some of those prophecies? Sometimes I have. Sometimes I've heard someone with the wrong spirit give a prophecy and say, thus saith the Lord, and I knew it wasn't the Lord. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand mysteries and knowledge, which would be better, and though I have all faith, which would be an awesome thing, so that I could remove mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods, I'll just give things away, to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So you can be like Elon Musk and give away your millions and billions, whatever you want to do, but if you don't have love in your heart, it isn't going to make any difference. Interestingly, you today have that love in your heart. It's awesome. You are richer than Elon. You are richer than Elon Musk, yeah. You are more favored than him with that love. That's what it's saying. Okay, so I love people. Lord, I'm going to love. I have no problem loving people. Oh, really? How many people have said that? I can do this. I mean, if you say that, hold on to your seat. Because he's going to show you where the end of your love is. And it'll bring you right to the end of it sometime very quickly. Sometimes it may take a couple of days, weeks, or months, or even years. But at some point, you'll say, that's it. I'm out of here. And that seems to be the mode of operation of the world today. As soon as my love is done, then that person doesn't deserve my love, attention, or any thought. I'm out of here. We're divorced. I don't know what the divorce rate is now, but it's probably over 50%. That's pretty scary and doesn't make the pastors who perform the marriage ceremony very warm and fuzzy inside when you know that 50% of them are not going to be married long. It's like I used to tell the doctors, I said, you know, I don't know how you do your job because all your patients are going to die. They don't really like me to say that. But I said, no, it's true. We're all going to die, but you can make it a lot better. You can give us hope. Hope and hopefully not medications, hopefully not even on medicine, but in the care that we have for one another. Isn't that what you want for from your primary care doctor anyway? You want to know that he or she cares for you and is going to do things appropriately. All right, here goes. This is what love is. Verse 4, love suffers long. Oh, wait a minute, I didn't sign on for suffering. Love is kind. Wait a minute, I don't even know how to be kind sometimes. I know how to react, but I don't know. The Holy Spirit has to teach me. Love does not envy. Oh, that's the kind of love I want. Why do we go to the movies? So we could see what love is really supposed to be like? We are going to the wrong place. Love does not parade itself. Oh, look at this. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. So next time you're trying to love your wife or your spouse and you're behaving rudely and you're seeking your own will, back away slowly and think about these scriptures. Love is not provoked. Thinks no evil. That's the first thing we think about in the natural. I would not want to be a news anchor because they're trained to think evil first. Love does not rejoice in iniquity when things fail, but it rejoices. What does it do? So all those things are kind of negative. Now he's going to say something really cool. It rejoices in the truth. So when you hear the truth, let your spirit rejoice in that. Don't just walk away. Okay, I know, that's truth. There's a wonderfulness about truth. You know, one of the things about Christmas is so nice is repeating things we hear over and over again, Christmas carols for one. But when you hear the truth in some of them, not all, rejoice in that. When you hear the truth, drink it in. Love bears all things. That means there's some things that I just can't bear, but love will be able to do it. Believes all things. There's sometimes I can't believe it. It's not going to happen. But love says yes, and this is it hopes all things that are linked together. That hope that is given to you is for this purpose, to express the love of God in your life. Why did God make this universe to begin with? So that he could show everyone who he is. He is love itself, hopes all things, endures all things. There may be many things that are evil in the universe, Lucifer being one, and all of his angels and demons, but God himself has put himself in the way. There's no way that he's going to win, that is the enemy. When he comes to you with sickness and disease, when it comes to you with depression, and that's a big thing with this time of year, people get depressed when their loved ones that have passed away are not here anymore. And they can be depressed about that, or they can receive the hope that Jesus gives to them, which is the hope of what? Eternal life. Verse 8, here it comes. This is not possible, is it? Love never fails. Oh, of course it will. No. This truth, this is the truth. True love never fails. What about the gifts? Oh, where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. How smart that guy is. Too bad. But we know in part, and we prophesy in part. I used to think I knew a lot, and the more I know now, the less I know. I remember reading an article in Science This Week. They said, we're going to have to rewrite all the laws of physics, all of them. So great. Thank you. String theory, whatever you want to believe in, it's all gone. Because they found stuff that now that just negates that all. Next year they'll probably find something else. Verse 10, this is what we have in Jesus, people. I'm speaking to myself first of all. But when that which is perfect comes, oh, when that which is perfect comes, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, understood as a child. I thought as a child, you child through and through. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And he's encouraging us, it's time to put away childish things, childish thinkings, childish deeds, childish knowledge. See, Cheryl and I were having this discussion yesterday about what's important. What are we seeking after? Most of us are seeking after something. But when the perfect comes, all those things we're seeking after seem to fade away pretty quickly. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now in part, but then we will know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these things. But the greatest of these is love. So it's hard for one person to understand. I don't go to scripture so that I can understand God only. I do, so I can understand God. I don't go to scripture so I can know myself only. I do want to know myself, but I go to the scriptures just to drink in the truth of the scripture, just to know him in a very fundamental way of touching his garment. That's all the girl needed, was to touch his garment. She didn't even need anything else. Well, what about the rest of her life? Didn't she need to know who God had for her as a husband? What about how to raise a family? What about What about, and it continues, questions. And at some point in our lives, we come to the end of our questions. And we say, well, what about the hereafter? And sometime in our life, we're going to say, it doesn't really matter. I trust the Lord enough not to worry about what he has for me in the hereafter. I trust the Lord. Even there, in complete unknown, I trust the Lord. How do I know that I trust him? Just as David knew the Lord would protect him against the Goliath, because he has done it already in the little things. And he is who is faithful in little things will be faithful in much. He was talking to us, but he's also echoing what he is all about himself. Our Lord, our God, the creator of our universe, the one who has made us whole. I'm reminding myself every day in prayer, reminding myself that he made me who I am. And after he did that, because I'm just like Adam, and you're just like Eve, and he said, after he created it, he said, this is all right. This is good. And after he made Eve, he said, it's not good for man to live alone, but it's good to have a companion. This is very good. So you could say, I made it just by the skin of my teeth. No. You made it, and it's good. Because what he has done in your life is eternal. Those things which are eternal will not fade away. They will not lose hope. They won't fail. They will not fail. And this is why I like saying things over and over again. It says that the elders, when they come before the throne, they'll cast down their crowns and they will worship the Lord, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God. And if we say that forever, we think we're going to be bored, because we think. But we will not be bored. Who knows what that will bring about in our psyche, in our soul, the things that God brings to heaven representing you. I can tell you, I do not know. Many people will say, I know. But I know one thing, and one thing only, that he says, even in the end, he will allow us to drink from the living water. And he also said about those who have gone before him, he said, I'm not a God of the dead, I am a God of the living. So you will always be alive, drinking from the well of eternal life. What a wonderful, wonderful God we have. You don't have to figure it out, I guess, bottom line. You don't have to even think about how he's going to transform you into the likeness of Christ, which he has promised to do. It's not even your job. I can do it. I'll help you, Lord. Anybody try that? I'll help you. It'll end up a mess. But when the Holy Spirit goes before you, you can look back and say, wow, that was unbelievable. I have done things in my life I thought I could never do. When I graduated from college, they put me in IBM Special Units Division. They wouldn't even tell me what the name was. And I found myself in 2 weeks doing circuits that were soon to go to the moon on Apollo 14. I thought, how can this be happening? I never dreamed it possible. And then from there into helping homeless people in the streets of Newburgh with their drug addiction. From there to the Veterans Administration, to a place where I never thought I would be, where I would select physicians to do the job that they're supposed to do. And I remember going to the surgical group and saying to them, I said, I don't know if I want to work for you or not. And I said, why? I said, most of the doctors that I trained didn't like their patients. So tell me, do you like your patients? Oh, yeah, we do like our patients. Well, you're going to be tested on that. Because if you don't, I don't want to work for you. And when they started working for money and not their patients, I left their group. And I went to teach hematology at Marist College, set up more laboratories. Things that I could never have thought that I would do, he thought I could do and made a place for me to do them. But I didn't say at any time, Lord, what is it that you want me to do now? Because if I'd asked that question, he would have given me an answer. I said, I don't think so. God goes before each one of us. He has created us, and he said, it's good what I've done. I can't do that anymore. I can hardly lean over to water the Christmas tree. But I can still do a lot of things. But the thing I enjoy doing most is the love, expressing the love that God has put in my heart for you and for those that are around me. That I will not walk away from Fountain of Life. I will not walk away from what God has given to me to do. I just won't do it. So isn't that great? Now, when Jesus was born, laid in a manger, and, you know, the shepherds came in, that's how the story goes, the baby Jesus didn't have any idea. All the things we say was going on, I'm not sure any of them happened. Radiant beams coming from his face, probably not. Might have been a rainy night, for all I know. Cattle were lowing? No, probably not. The goats were probably screaming in the next stall, or the donkey was hee-hawing and making all kinds of noise. In fact, he was probably crying and he messed his pants. All of those things, and yet he was not aware of who God created them to be. But one day he would be very much aware. When the Holy Spirit came down upon him in the waters of baptism, and it said, John, you're going to know him because the Spirit will come down and will remain, not go away from him. So you could say, boy, that brother, that sister was so anointed. I just saw the Holy Spirit come down and anoint him and her. Oh, well, this time the Holy Spirit comes down and stays. It remains. And that happened with Jesus, and it's happening, and it's happened to you. You don't feel him. Maybe you don't feel him. That's okay. There was a time when Jesus didn't feel him either, when he was on the cross. And he said, Father, how can you forsake me? Yet, we know that John was right. The Spirit remained. He just didn't feel him. He's feeling the same things and experiences you feel today. It's love never fails. Love never gives up. Love hopes, endures, all of those things. So, Father, we ask you, Lord God, to let that sink into our hope, by your Holy Spirit into our heart, that these would not be a plan for us, but they would be a reality for us as we walk in this life. That you would give us the good works which you have given to us to do this day, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. Whatever you have for this nation, I pray that you would call men of God to the place where they would step up to the plate and do the work of the Holy Spirit, even in Congress, if you can believe it can happen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.